plan for my lectures would be the following: to give a general theory concerning semilinear perturbations of SG pseudo differential operators, elliptic pseudo differential operators with a semilinear perturbation, and then give applications to nonlinear spectral theory. These two lectures I want to devote mainly to traveling waves. In the sense that I will discuss in a moment. So, following the examples of the preceding speakers and also suggestions of Professor Wong, I would like to insist first on examples and then insert them in a general theory. Let me say concerning these traveling waves example that the most part of the results I will expose on traveling waves are well known, and they will find such a place in the general framing. But something new could be obtained from a general theory also for these examples. Traveling waves, say, are a field in mathematical physics. I am, say, in analysis, so this has to be fixed in mind. But in particular, excuse possible mistakes of interpretation of physical motivations. But roughly, one attributes the beginning of the theory of traveling waves, well, first of all, to some physical observations, but mathematically to KdV equation, Korteweg-de Vries, in 1895. And they gave a mathematical model for the movement of the water wave of shallow water in a canal. We describe them with a function V. X is the level of the water at the point X and at the time t. And they proposed, I cannot explain you the deduction, the following equation, partial differential equation, nonlinear partial differential equation, dt plus 2 vx plus third order vxxx equals 0. Please take note that here I begin to be from the side of mathematical analysis in this sense, that in front of these three terms there are some coefficients usually related to how large is the canal and etc. For simplicity, I assume 1, 2, which will be convenient in the following, and 1. And say these coefficients are very important from the physical point of view, but the solution of the equation does not depend so much. And in particular, what the properties of the solution I want to discuss do not depend on these coefficients. So, KdV equation is still a mystery for some aspects. But it is quite clear when Everything is clear when we want to refer to traveling waves. What we do, we search for a solution V Tx of the form U T minus V X, where V is a velocity, let me say V different from zero. Actually, later I will assume V strictly positive. Forward, a wave coming forward with time. Then, what we do is to insert this particular form in the equation and to deduce an ordinary differential equation giving the expression having as solutions U. Let me detail the computations first, which are very easy. That is, here I get a minus V differentiating with respect to T. I exchanged T and X, excuse me. It will be not so much a difference from a mathematical point of view, but to respect the standard, meaning I put X minus VT. I obtain then minus V U prime plus, and here, differentiate with respect to X, I see this as the derivative of a square, U square, we differentiate, and then U, third order derivative, equals zero. At this moment, we collect one derivative, and what we obtain is minus V U, then we integrate, plus U square, plus second order derivative equal constant. So this is the equation of the traveling waves in this case. And say there are physical motivations to set, in this case, this constant equals zero. So the equation is this one. This is a constant, and sometimes called Newton equation. A constant here, so you have a linear part, which is simply second order derivatives minus VU, and a non-linearity U square. This equation can be solved explicitly, in this sense at least, that you reduce by two transformations to elliptic integrals and elliptic functions. Why it is not usually in our textbooks of analysis, whereas we insist on Riccati equation, Clairaut, etc. I think because other type of equations have a certain generality, whereas here is a good luck that we can just act on this to solve it. But we have not to use elliptic functions, etc., because of another physical requirement. We require for our wave to be of this form. Roughly, the ux tends to zero for x tending to plus minus infinity. And at this moment, the general solution gives a particular solution, an elementary one, who is the following. Is expressed in terms of a hyperbolic cosinus. Ux equal a constant, I will write down the constant in a moment, ch square x, say b, not a constant b, x, where ch x is ex plus exponential minus x over 2. A and B are positive constants. So we have actually the square of a hyperbolic cosecant. A and B are positive, I shall return in a moment, but let me spend a few words in favor of the hyperbolic cosecant. I have seen in the past days a lot of, say, lot of time I saw the Gaussian as basic function for time frequency analysis. The hyperbolic cosecant is not so much different as behavior. It looks like the picture there as graph. The difference is that as decay, here we have only essentially e minus x at infinity and not minus x squared. So Gaussian is better. And also, looking in the complex domain, the Gaussian is very good because it is an entire function of type 2, that is, they are precise bound in terms of exponential in the complex domain. Whereas the hyperbolic cosecant here to the square is not an entire function because the hyperbolic cosinus has zeros. Just say that hyperbolic cosinus Iy is equal to cos y. So in the hyperbolic domain, we have zero, and then u as singularity at minus pi half plus pi half. And I tell you that, in fact, there are no zeros which are near the real axis. That is, in this strip, in the complex domain, we have holomorphy of our original ux. Of course, hyperbolic cosinus is an entire function itself, 1 over 2 the square. Again, then we lose with respect to the Gaussian. But say, in some sense, the Gaussian is exaggerated, and our attention here will be fixed on a more reasonable function, which is the hyperbolic cosecant. Maybe it has a disadvantage that the Fourier transform of the Gaussian is very good, is the Gaussian itself. Whereas the Fourier transform of the hyperbolic cosecant cannot be expressed elementally. But it has almost the same form, same regularity than the hyperbolic cosecant. That is, we are in a stable space under Fourier transform. But incidentally, let me mention a function which we shall meet a little later as traveling wave, is 1 over 1 plus x squared. See, we match these three functions. This one is not so good as asymptotic decay, but as holomorphy is the same as the hyperbolic cosecant. Okay, I think that's all for the KdV equation. In 100 and more years, this theory of solitary traveling waves developed largely and with different applications. Well, for example, I saw recently applications to DNA, I cannot tell you. And then traveling waves are compactons, that is, functions with compact support which move. In the following, I am addressed to traveling waves of this type. of this type, which are rather frequent and represent half of the literature, actually. And just to give you an idea of the papers, they are papers in mathematical physics. They study a particular model with a precise motivation, and they want to find an explicit solution. Sometimes it happens, there exists such a solution, otherwise they solve it numerically. Whereas recently there are papers from the point of view of the general theory, and in particular from the group of Jerry Bona from Texas, where besides studying traveling waves from the point of view of applications, there is an attempt to in particular to study such properties that I emphasized here, that is decay, possibly exponential decay, and holomorphic extension. Let me say, mention a paper of Diagioni Granchev of a few years ago, and then the results which I will expose later on general theory, trying to generalize these cases, are due to Granchev, Capiello, and myself. But let me return to OTA traveling waves equation. Recently, I checked a little math science net, etc. During the period, say, 90 to 2000, I saw a lot of papers devoted to higher order generalization of KdV equation. They put instead of third order there, order 5, order 7. Then the equation of the traveling waves is of order 4 or order 6. At this point, from a mathematical point of view, I give you the general structure of these equations, which is the following, are ordinary differential equations. They are linear part is given J equals 0, say capital N coefficient, and let me write again U for the unknown, plus QU equals 0, where Q is a polynomial starting from the order 2, because the order 1 is already in the linearity, and arriving till an order, say, m. H equal 2m, and u coefficients b, h, u, h. All these models I mentioned are of this type. And there is a common assumption, coming from physics. We have, for the linear part, that all the solutions of a linear part, which are exponential, are actually of grow decay type. That is, there is not oscillatory solution. That is, we solve the equation according to the Euler method, lambda j equals 0, and then we get always real part of lambda different from 0. And then they look for solutions which tend to infinity, to 0 at infinity. Sometimes, say, the hyperbolic cosecant is a joker that appears everywhere, but sometimes it is not the case, and then they produce numerical experiments for the solutions. Let me say, we shall be able in a moment to say that the behavior is the same from mathematical point of view, mathematical analysis. But maybe let me return Here too, what I have left are these two constants. In this case, the linear part for KdV equation, if I may return to the KdV equation, the linear part is the equation given in this form, where yes, V is now is essential to have a V larger than zero. Then the solutions of the linear equation are of the type exponential plus minus square root of V. This is plus square root of V x, and V sota is exponential minus V x. So in the linear case, there is not a non-trivial solution bounded from one side and the other. Thanks to the non-linearity, we have something like Stokes phenomenon in the linear case. But here is another thing. It's due to the non-linearity. Thanks to the non-linearity, one solution here switch goes into asymptotically into the other decreasing. And in fact, B is given, if you take into account the square, B is given exactly by square root of V half, because here then we have this square. From a mathematical physics point of view, it is important to say that this A is proportional to V. So the amplitude of the wave is proportional to the speed, to velocity. There is, continuing in example, a point to be emphasized, that it is essential to impose originally for our wave a decay. Otherwise, let me emphasize this, that, and this will be important, and it is typical of a nonlinearity, that boundedness of V, of U, is not sufficient to conclude exponential decay. Whereas I told you that, I announced you that once we have decay, algebraic decay, we shall be more precise in Sobolev spaces, then immediately we have exponential decay, actually. The counterexample is given by the so-called Burger equation. Here, I remember the year, which is the following. And the equation is similar to KdV, but in V, the difference is that we have only a second order derivative. Again, I simplify coefficients. Plus V second with respect to xx. XX. In particular, in front of the XX, there is a small parameter which sometimes permit to cancel this term. Then you have the basic example of nonlinear hyperbolic equation, also called Burger equation. But compute traveling waves on this expression, then what you get as equation of governing traveling wave is minus VU plus U square plus U prime equals zero. So if you reorder, you have U prime equal plus VU minus U square. It is, say, it coincides with the equation of the rules in the biology, biomathematics, and you solve it immediately. is an autonomous equation, and you have a solution here is V like that, expressed by 1 over constant plus exponential. So here, a bounded solution which does not decay. It is interesting anyway, it has an exponential decay from this side, and here it approaches the line y equals v exponentially, quickly. Incidentally, this is also interesting for the application, so it's not useless to emphasize such a solution. It's a note type, there is a distinction of different traveling waves. Now, I want to approach our point of view, general point of view. And what is natural is to pass to higher dimension. Say, from a mathematical point of view, we are immediately tempted here to replace here with a Laplacian. Here, say, V equal 1. Here, put us, if you want, a power higher than 2 or 2. And we have the following equation. Minus delta u plus u equal u to a power k larger than 2. We are outside in the one-dimensional case. We'll capture this one with v equal 2 and k equal 2. This is not a traveling wave of the fluids in canal, because dimension is higher than 1, but there are physical motivations coming, if you want, from the Schrödinger equation with a nonlinear potential, which I read are interesting in plasma physics. So if you impose Schrödinger equation as I derivative with respect to t, if you impose a solution which is moving forward but modulate with a modulation in front, again you obtain losing time, eliminating time from the picture, a stationary wave. In fact, they are called stationary waves of the Schrödinger, nonlinear Schrödinger equation. Schrödinger nonlinear equation. But at this moment I would say that analysts take the power, because this equation is too difficult to be computed by hand. So there are hundreds, I would say thousands, of papers devoted to this equation, or small variants putting maybe an x dependence in the nonlinearity essentially. Here does not so much matter to have a V or what. Look here, the point of view is rather spectral theory. We are adding plus U minus. We are outside the spectrum. The assumption is, say, the free atom outside the spectrum. Concerning analysis, I quote a recent book of our Italian colleagues Ambrosetti and Malchiodi, 2006, where in Birkhäuser they collect, say, hundreds of theorems concerning this equation or similar. Well, the main problem for them is, first of all, the main technique is variational calculus of variation. They want to establish the existence of non-trivial bounded solution. Actually, bounded here should be in calculus of variation, the natural setting will be H1, but let me assume you belong to HS, with s larger than n half, so the nonlinearity has a meaning. But less is required in the variational approach on the original U. Then, first of all, to establish the existence or the multiplicity, infinitely many solutions of this type. Our interest is in, once the existence is established, to study, to predict asymptotic decay, exponential decay, and holomorphic extension. Looking carefully, what I found in the book is a result of Pierre-Louis Lyon of some years ago that states the following, that if K is submitted to the so-called subcritical bound depending on the dimension, etc., then exists a unique radial solution, non-trivial radial solution, ux equal u capital x. And such a solution has exponential decay. In particular, there is a precise statement that u capital t is asymptotic to x to a certain power, which is easy to remember, depends, is a zero in the one-dimensional case, e to a minus t, t is here. Let me tell you that concerning holomorphic extension that we are going to prove for the solutions of this equation, nothing appears. So possibly this is new also for these equations of the calculus of variation. Well, at this moment I want to be, first of all, more precise concerning decay, exponential, and holomorphic extension. I introduce, instead of use asymptotic equalities, which would be good, certainly, a scale of spaces, which are, in some sense, are famous, they are famous names, and in our opinion are the right setting for studying such kind of regularity of traveling waves. Are the Gelfand-Shelov spaces, which I have seen mentioned already by Grokenig in the lectures, because they enter in a natural way also in time frequency. Gelfand-Shelov, we are in the 50. They are subspaces of the Schwarz space S, but in some sense more sympathetic than the Schwarz space S, more concrete. Schwarz space S for the can be defined in this way, which maybe is also useful, to give is the function in S are functions with rapid decay, that is, we have bounds of these types for every n. And instead of imposing derivatives, we can say that f at psi also has same bounds. Let's use the same constant, Cn. Am I true? This is a result, yes. Not so easy to prove, but can be done, that gives the standard definition. Now, at this moment, it's easy to define, modeling on this, Gelfand-Shelov spaces S mu nu, Rn, which are subspaces of S. Mu and nu are positive, real, or also zero is allowed as well, numbers. And what we do f belongs to s mu nu if fx is estimated, we have something more sharp than algebraic decay of infinite order, which is difficult to understand in some sense, to touch. We have an exponential decay. C exponential minus epsilon x to the power, we invert the power 1 over nu. By convention, we use 1 nu here, 1 over nu there. Whereas the Fourier transform satisfies, estimates, let's use, we can use the same C and epsilon, psi 1 over mu. It is possible to match together in one inequality the two informations, and it is also useful in illuminating to do this. And then an equivalent definition is given by these compact estimates involving alpha derivative x, fx, can be estimated by c alpha plus 1, alpha factorial to the power mu exponential minus x 1 over nu. This is equivalent to this couple. Also, please. This is somewhat delicate, yes. It requires a variant with subnorm. Let me assume, I'm not joking, but say, because the case when 1 is equal to 0, the 2 in fact is somewhat peculiar. Let me exclude this. We don't have any now applications. This is my answer to your question. From this representation, you recognize extendibility in the complex domain. In particular, if mu is less than 1, then f is an entire function. You see immediately that the series at the origin is converged, Taylor series is convergent with radio infinity. Whereas if mu equals mu 1, we have exactly holomorphicity, holomorphic extension in a strip. Mu larger than 1 is the so-called Gevre case. Gevre case, it will be outside our investigation. First of all, this expression allows to prove rather easily, as well as biota, the fact that mu and mu cannot be small, too small simultaneously because of the Heisenberg principle. Mu plus mu have to be larger or equal 1. But in the case 1 is 0, then biota should be larger strictly than 1. At this moment, let me give you some examples of functions of this type. Certainly, the borderline case, mu plus mu equal 1 is very interesting, or in some sense the most regular as decay and holomorphicity functions in the world. And for example, the Gaussian belongs to S 1 half 1 half. So the window you are using often is in this S 1 half 1 half. If you take a nota power x 4, then you remain on the borderline case mu plus mu equal 1, but you have a nota balance here. What about our hyperbolic cosecant belongs to S11, the 1-1 class. 1-1 class means that you have exponential decay and exactly extension in a strip, holomorphic extension in the strip. Let me say that all these traveling waves solutions will be long. The main part depends on the application, of course, but say in half of the papers belong on traveling waves to S11. So it is in some sense our preferred space here. So this is the function space. In fact, I introduced the Gelfand-Shelov with arbitrary mu nu because they should be, if I have time, I should give also some other results involving 1/2, 1/2, etc. At this moment, we have to do, say, the hard part, the essential part, that is to find a general class of semilinear equations containing this one and the other in this blackboard, possibly. Let me begin by the linear parts. Say the nonlinearity will be then in some sense automatically defined, polynomial or derivatives will be assumed as well in the nonlinearity. Fix attention. Let's say keep no, okay. Not that to repeat in this blackboard the linear part I had here below, minus delta plus 1. This was our linear part for this operator. And so, generalizing linear parts. Here also I proceed by steps. First generalization is since all these equations have constant coefficients to try to deal with a general operator with constant coefficients in the vectorial notation, something like that, where I am inserting minus I in the derivatives for convenience of application of Fourier transform. C alpha are real or complex coefficients, and we are in dimension n. And well, I want a condition generalizing this example as well as the OTA with condition real lambda different from zero. So here we have to pay some attention because we need, first of all, we need ellipticity. P should be elliptic. What it means, we can state it in different ways. For example, consider the principal part, the principal symbol then. This is an homogeneous function of order C alpha xi alpha, of order m, it would be sufficient to say different from zero for xi different from zero. This maybe is a more standard definition of ellipticity. This can be written as well as dealing with a wall symbol, peak psi equals sum of all the terms, can be written This is equivalent to say an estimate like that. P psi modulus larger than a constant psi power m. But then, if we consider all the terms, we have to add 4 psi large. That is, there exists R such that for all the psi outside the sphere, we have such inequality. The two things are equivalent. Now, I introduce here a definition of SG, which means symbol global. This is a notation which is often used for these classes. Ellipticity. SG ellipticity is equal to ellipticity, and then we eliminate this requirement, or that this could be satisfied, and say P psi different from zero for every, for all psi in Rn. This is equivalent to say that this can be replaced. It is convenient also to change a little the norm here. Let me write P psi estimates one constant, this bracket psi to the power m, where this psi is brackets is 1 plus psi square root. Thanks to the 1, with this inequality, we exactly exclude zeros in finite psi. So ellipticity plus a fourth requirement that we have no finite zero. Just let me observe that this is exactly. The generalization of the conditions we had from different point of view. That is, consider the traveling wave equations in this blackboard. Then the condition real part psi different from zero. If you reset the definition of derivative with this I inside means exactly that. Means exactly that. And also, look at the condition of a spectral theory for minus delta plus 1, something positive there. If you look to the symbol, is psi square plus 1. And this indeed is elliptic and never vanishes. So, at least formally, we have found a condition generalizing the traveling wave examples we had. The natural question is, we call a global ellipticity, SG, simple global ellipticity, these conditions, whereas apparently we argue for finite psi. It seems a contradiction, but of course, we have to take into account Fourier transform, mapping finite psi, the behavior. We have to look to the behavior of 1 over p psi. Bad behavior of 1 over p psi, that is 0 of p psi, will reflect on bad asymptotic behavior of the solutions on x, by Fourier transform. Whereas this condition will give our the expected exponential decay, but I want to proceed a little more generally. It would be possible a computation by hand on Fourier transform to prove everything of such a model. I proceed. Set a counter example in dimension one, an operator dx as symbol psi is elliptic but not SG elliptic. Elliptic trivially as every ordinary differential operator. But the symbol vanishes at the origin. And this is not admitted. This is not admitted. And in fact, if you solve this equation, you obtain as solution U equal constant, which are perfect as regularity, but have a bad asymptotic behavior, because the original operator is not SG elliptic. But let me now come to more generality, and actually to by now history, say. In the 70s, first in a short remark, Shubin, and then Parenti, and then Cordes, who wrote a book on that, generalized, inspired to exactly to this condition to identify a class of pseudo-differential operators, partial differential operators, and pseudo-differential operators, generalizing exactly this condition. When X coefficients, for example, appear, the idea is rather natural. We admit the coefficients in X which grow at infinity. Yes, we can do it, but then we involve it, say, we limit to an algebraic growth with respect to X of the coefficients, and we modify this one inserting X here. And the machinery works as well. First of all, I will speak later by the class of these SG pseudo-differential operators, because I want in some sense generalize them. But let me give you a first generalization. First, considering for simplicity operators where with polynomial coefficients, which are sufficient for some applications. Say C alpha beta x alpha d beta. Now here things are like that, that we limit the growth of x by m1. We have two orders, m1 for the x, and the order m is now m2 for the derivatives. And the ellipticity condition is the following, that the symbol which is the sum, say C alpha beta x alpha psi beta, estimates from below, we have estimates epsilon, which is this constant C, which I would write as epsilon here because it has to be taken sufficiently small. Now, pseudo-differential operators did not appear explicitly till now. Actually, they are needed to construct parametricities of a linear part. But in some way, I escaped this. Because now I want to emphasize that recently, in these last few years, pseudo-differential operators appeared already at the beginning in the theory of traveling waves. They call them, essentially are in the form of convolution operators, then Fourier multipliers, say. And in particular, thanks to the school of Bona, but also to other people. First, I want to describe you a model, one of the models in this sense, by Bona, Albert, and others, which is called the model of intermediate long wave, which apparently is a contradiction. I don't know exactly. It models two fluids of different nature, or in shallow water situation as well. And the model is the following. It is, say, multiplier PD, which now I will describe to you, U plus, say, lambda U equals U square. This is already the traveling wave equation that is deduced from an equation with time imposing the traveling wave solution. This PD is, just to be definite, I adopt this normalization of Fourier transform P psi U hat psi d psi is given by psi times the hyperbolic cotangent CTGH psi. So again, hyperbolic sinus and cosinus appear. The hyperbolic tangent TGH as a graph of this sort which looks like the cotangent, but the difference is that here it goes to asymptotically very rapidly, exponentially. 1 over is the cotangent, hyperbolic cotangent, then there is a singularity in the origin, something is positive like that. Then we have at the origin 0 times infinity, which actually gives limit 1. And the total graph of our symbol is something of this type. Here, 1. I am not so precise, but at infinity, it is asymptotic to these two lines, and in some way is something like absolute value of psi plus 1, which we smooth in C infinity, actually an analytic way, this way. And local analyticity is very important in this connection. Should we consider the equation with, say, symbol P tilde, psi equal psi plus 1, then equation P tilde du plus lambda u equal u square is very famous, say, it's somewhat different. How I present the equation is a smoothing of this equation can be seen if you introduce a parameter. This can be seen as a limit of the OTA situation. And it's called Benjamin Ono. And to speak first about Benjamin Ono, there was a paper some years ago in Acta Mathematica, long paper, producing explicit solution of this equation, which are of the form, say, constant 1, I don't remember exactly the constant, but x squared plus constant 2 positive, C1 and C2 positive. So it is a wave, it is a good wave, that is, tends to in 0 at infinity, but you recognize it was the function I mentioned as counterpart of Gaussian and the hyperbolic cosecant. The isomorphicity in a strip, but not exponential decay. Say, let me emphasize that such a behavior depends on the singularity of the derivative we have here for absolute value psi plus 1. Say, singularity in a finite psi reflects in bad asymptotic behavior of the solutions. It was not so easy to check that this is solution on this. Fourier transforming, here you have a convolution, and you have to compute this. And this is done by going in the complex domain by computation of infinitely many residues, etc. But now let's come to the OTA equation, which this smooth P psi, and this is will be in our frame. And I tell you which is the solution they were able to produce. There is a series of papers that I can mention more precisely to you if you want. They produced again a solution involving the hyperbolic cosinus, a solution of this form, say B1 hyperbolic cosinus plus B2 in such a way that this is always positive. B2 can be is negative as well, but the sum of the two is positive, and this is in S11. Again, to check that this is solution or this is a bit of work, it's not so trivial, and they devote papers to such a computation. What we want to do? We want to embed this example. Let me say that concerning Benjamin Ono, it would be interesting as well to have pseudo-differential calculus addressed to this, but we have not yet at this moment. And to recapture this regularity result. Here, pseudo-differential operators are necessary already at the beginning. And now I tell you the definition, finally, of the pseudos we use. I mean, I write down pseudo differential operators in the Cohn-Nirenberg form. That is, I refer to the preceding multiplier expression, and I add an x in the symbol. And our class of symbols is the following. Derivative alpha is expressed by estimates of this form. Let me write for the moment C A alpha beta 1 plus, use these brackets that we have introduced, psi, psi, I wrote m2 minus beta x m1 minus alpha. These are the classical SG pseudo differential operators of Cordes, Parenti, and Cotes. In our calculus, we need, if we want to be precise on the behavior at infinity, to go further with respect to S, we have to be precise about these constants. And the choice is the following, is the, say, the most natural, easiest, which could be simplified, C, generalized as well, could be analyticity, analyticity. This means that we can go in the complex domain with our symbols, if you want. Then, SG ellipticity is as before. So, epsilon x, we attributed m1 to x and m2 to psi in this case. Okay. For psi plus x plus psi large. So the theorem, which is an improvement of the Cordes standard SG calculus, and due to the three authors I mentioned, it, me and Grancev and Capiello, is the following, that in this situation, for such pseudo-differential operators, if we consider the equation P x pseudo-differential equation equal F, we assume F in S11, in particular, not bad if you assume f equals 0, for example, and u belongs into, in the linear case, say S prime or say L2. L2, I write L2, but take care that this could be relaxed a lot, S prime or even worse in ultra distribution setting, etc. Then actually our solution is again in S11. In particular, eigenfunctions are in S11. So, taking first into account, fixing attention on the linear part, say example, is not Benjamin Ono because of the singularity, and this is not in S11, of course. Example is Bona-Albert equation. PD plus lambda, the linear part here, as symbol. The function before, p psi plus lambda, remember that this, first of all, check ellipticity. this is larger than 1, then we take lambda should be larger than minus 1. The ellipticity condition is simply this, that we can decrease, we can take a negative lambda, but we cannot descend below 0. Then Fg ellipticity. In our case, then this is positive, will be larger than a constant time psi to the power 1. That is, we have m1 is refers x is 0, m2 equal 1, and dimension n equal 1 equal 1. So our linear part is elliptic, Sg elliptic. Sg elliptic, and it is important, it's very important to have such a constant there, because otherwise Benjamin Ono satisfies this ellipticity, but not with such nice constants in the symbol, and the conclusion doesn't work. Smooth. Analytically smooth. Excuse me, the picture maybe is not good, but it is. The picture. Now let me distinguish. Say, what I'm treating now is smooth. This is peak psi, which I'm treating now. The other, which I mentioned, but I do not treat, is this. I don't know. This one, I don't remember which represented. No, it was not the picture of psi. By chance, it appears here, but it's not the picture of psi plan. Let me. Okay. You know. No. Good remark, because in principle the graph would correspond to the function on the side. Estimates, these analytic estimates are satisfied. So, concerning linear equation, we are okay. That is P du plus lambda u. U equal F belonging to S11 and U in L2 or implies U belonging to S11. However, here in the linear case the situation is not so interesting concerning eigenvalues, because you immediately see that the only solution of the homogeneous equation is the zero solution. Eigenfunctions appear when introducing the nonlinearity, and then I need now a generalization of this theorem that we have. And let me state it, which is our, say, in this case will be our more general result theorem under the preceding assumptions on PXD, consider the semilinear equation, linear PXD U plus Q U equal 0, Q polynomial as before, with same comment that more general nonlinearities would be allowed. Then let U belongs to HS or N, and dots as before for the partial differential equation with polynomial coefficients. That is, when in the case of a multiplier, that is M1 equals 0, the assumption is somewhat sharp. We have to require something more, a decay, initial decay. I do not repeat the assumption. The conclusion is that then U belongs to S11R. So we recapture, at least concerning regularity and holomorphic extension, the example, the traveling wave of Albert Ebona. It would be nice to have similar theorem for Benjamin Ono. This would be finite order regularity, let's say, of symbols with respect to the decay, because it is interesting to keep holomorphicity, holomorphic extension. Okay, I do not give you details. The symbolic calculus here is not different from the standard. What we do to treat a nonlinearity is a priori estimate. Maybe it is worth just to have an idea of a proof for the nonlinear case to give you an idea of this a priori. The basic, I give you the basic a priori estimate we use that goes back to Parenti and Cordes, and it is the following. It is the following. Basic a priori estimate parenti cordes, etc. For elliptic SG elliptic pseudos as well. Important to specify the order which were M1 with respect to X, where M2 with respect to Xi. Then what we do, we have a Sobolev norm appropriate to this situation involving the L2 norm of X alpha d beta U, L2 norms, for alpha, that's then M1, MI. Okay, beta less than M2. And this can be estimated by a constant norm of PU in L2 plus norm of U in L2. It is a maximal estimate where we are able to estimate the single pieces in terms of the whole PU. And let me, to be more precise, this is good for M1 larger than 0. If we want to treat the case, the constant coefficient case, or multiplier case, then this should be replaced by a norm with which goes below, that is X psi minus epsilon U norm L2. Which corresponds exactly to the epsilon in the assumption for the nonlinearity. I mean, this is valid for every M1, but for M1 equals 0, this as well is valid. Here you could put, in fact, any small norm in combined Sobolev spaces weighted in this type. So what we do We use an equivalent definition of the Sobolev of the Gelfand-Shelov spaces, which should be at this moment the third equivalent definition for equivalent. Definition of S mu mu Rn. We consider, say, L2 norm x alpha d beta u, then we intend to estimate this by alpha factorial to the power mu, and also the exponential decay, no, excuse me, beta factorial, alpha factorial to the power nu, which explains the, translates the exponential decay, beta factorial to the power mu, and then say the sup, if you want, in alpha beta, belonging to zeta n, all the possible multi-indices. So this finite is equivalent to S mu nu. And to prove the theorem here for the nonlinear case, as well as the statement before for the nonlinear case, we prove by induction on alpha plus beta on n that such norms is finite. Actually, the induction proceeding is somewhat delicate because, say, it is convenient to argue separately at a certain moment for alpha beta, but I do not give you detail. I address you to there is a some papers, a series of papers of Granchev, Capiello, and myself on that. At this moment, I would like to turn attention, essentially to go outside the traveling wave situation, and to fix attention on some other problems. Roughly, we could say, till now we have fixed attention on exponential decay. Can we identify situations where we have exponential decay of OTA type minus epsilon x to the power r? Generically, we say r equal 1 exponential decay. R less than 1 sub-exponential decay. R larger than 1 sub-exponential decay. Sub-exponential decay. Say, we have one paper for the sub-exponential and one for the super-exponential. I would like to fix ideas on the super-exponential decay. So we arrive to the harmonic oscillator and similar situation. This is a paper in Journal Functional Analysis 2006. But before discussing such super-exponential decay, it requires variable coefficients. We are outside the traveling wave situation M1 equals 0. I would like to enlarge our point of view from to the, say, some general problem in the theory of the linear partial differential operators in Rn. Let me say that P locally is elliptic, is a partial differential operator, or if you want a pseudo, locally elliptic in Rn. I would assume such a condition. Locally means that in every omega compact subset, ellipticity condition is satisfied for some epsilon. In the preceding seminars, I have seen this definition. A student from India, which I cannot spell your name, but it was your student of Professor Wong. P is globally hypoelliptic. Maybe I change words somewhere. Hypoelliptic. If PU equal F belong F belongs to S Rn, and we consider solutions in S prime Rn implies U actually is in S Rn. Sort of say natural to use such a word. Local regularity, if we start with local elliptic operators, is granted. If the coefficients are analytic, we have local analyticity and local extensions in the complex domain. Okay? But here, we fix first attention in the Schwarz class. So, what about characterizing the locally elliptic operators which have this global hypoellipticity? I would say that it is a very difficult problem. Maybe Professor Rabinovich has some very precise results. That is, it depends in which way we go to infinity. Say, according to the way we choose to approach infinity, we have different sufficient conditions. Remark, SG, here we are in the linear case. For the moment, we are in the linear case. SG elliptic operators are globally hypoelliptic. So SG ellipticity is a sufficient condition, but certainly far to exhaust the class of the globally hypoelliptic operator. The example given by the student of Professor Wong on presenting nota papers of Wong is in some way outside all the standard frames, and it is globally hypoelliptic despite this. It is not SG hypoelliptic, neither elliptic at infinity in a reasonable sense. What I would like to do now is to identify a nota approach giving sufficient conditions for hypoelliptic at this infinity. It has an historical value, and in some way is the counterpart of the SG operators. SG operators in the SG calculus, the x variables and the xi variables have a symmetric role. By Fourier transform, you pass by conjugation with Fourier transform, we switch once in the orders. The OTA approach is to treat paritetically, completely in a paritetic way, x and xi, and is the approach first proposed by Shubin. I would like to mention a monography of Boggiato, Buzzano, and myself where we generalize the approach of Shubin. And is the following. So symbols P, X, Xi. To treat them paritetically, we write Z equal X Xi. Then let me write again some abuse of notation, PZ. The assumption is the following, that in the wall they are a symbol as a multiplier. That is, B gamma, say, PZ, is estimated by constant gamma Z to the power total order m minus gamma. So one immediately realizes that such a condition is very strong. Is very strong. So for example, if we consider partial differential equations, then for a partial differential equation operator, this immediately, this after easy computation, implies we actually have P with polynomial coefficients. Note that also in the SG situation, for simplicity, I considered operators with polynomial coefficients, but it is easy to replace the polynomials with functions which have a good asymptotic behavior under differentiation. Not the case with these Shubin classes. If you want an operator in Shubin classes, it has to be partial differential equation, it has to be with polynomial coefficients. Basic example is the harmonic oscillator. Minus delta, I mean, plus x square. Plus or minus possibly lambda. The symbol is psi square plus x square minus lambda, and this is exactly z square. So you note a supersymmetry, people in physics would say, with respect to x psi. Now, what is ellipticity in this case? Shubin ellipticity. We know already that our operator has polynomial coefficients, and in this case there is a unique order. We sum up alpha and beta. This is the operator, and the condition, if you want to, you introduce a principal symbol involving paritetically x and psi, but say in this form P x psi estimates epsilon z to the power m. This is, say, Shubin ellipticity. Somewhat different from SG ellipticity. The harmonic oscillator is Shubin elliptic. Example, minus delta plus x square. Note that this is not SG elliptic, and also vice versa, SG elliptic operators are in general not Shubin elliptic. We can recapture one class from the OTA allowing hypoellipticity, but let me distinguish two things. This is completely the two ways. So, theorem, first of all, Shubin in his book on spectral theory has a nice pseudo-differential calculus. giving something similar to the Cordes Parenti result, which is the following. Let's stay with a partial differential operator with polynomial coefficient, call it Q. Q should be elliptic. Then let's assume Q equal F in S, U in S prime implies U in S. But we have a definition that is, let's say, that is Q is, as we wrote, globally a hypoelliptic. In the previous sense, this is not a sufficient condition to arrive to global hypoellipticity. Theorem, what we did, Cappiello, Grancia, Freddino, under the preceding assumption, QU equals zero, say, for simplicity. U in S prime, or let's say L2, we are inside quantum mechanics. We have lost the traveling waves. Implies U belongs to S, 1/2, 1/2. That is, we have Gaussians, something like Gaussians. By the way, the harmonic oscillator has four values of lambda equal, etc., eigenfunctions which are given by ux equal Hermit polynomials time e minus x square half. And these are, as well as the Gaussian, doesn't matter the Hermit polynomial in front, our example in 1/2, 1/2, Gelf and Shiloh classes. What we have then? We have super exponential decay minus epsilon x to the square, as well as entire analytic functions of a certain type, with estimates of e to the plus zeta square in the complex domain, and entire functions, let's say, of type 2. So this result turned out to be new, at least for Shubin himself, in the linear case as well, that not only the harmonic oscillator as eigenfunctions in 1/2, 1/2, but all these Shubin elliptic operators. Certainly there is an improvement with respect to SG situation. This is much better. Now, what about the semi-linear case? Let me mention our extension to the semi-linear case. Maybe for simplicity, I will limit myself to the harmonic oscillator. So the equation is the following. Minus delta U plus x square u plus lambda u equal q, or plus q u if you want, plus q u Well, this is a polynomial, but let me say what we can admit inside the nonlinearity. For example, first-order derivative, or else xj times u are admitted as well. So here we could insert the gradient of u or vector x times u. So what about lambda? I would say that the most reasonable situation is when lambda is an eigenvalue. Our results actually apply in all the cases, but to tell the truth, I have no evidence that if lambda is not an eigenvalue, I can produce non-trivial solutions. Say, let me add u belonging to HS to give meaning for sure to the nonlinearity S larger than n alpha. Yes, I think it is an interesting question for people in calculus of variation to establish existence of non-trivial solutions for lambda, which is not an eigenvalue. For lambda eigenvalue, you expect infinitely many, actually, solutions. This can be seen, I don't know the physical meaning exactly, but is the harmonic oscillator plus a nonlinear perturbation. So, what about the result of regularity for the eigenfunctions? By the way, these are called homoclinics in the language of the calculus of variation, as well as before could be said for the case where here there was one. We assume a homoclinic exists. So, first hope is to recapture the one-half regularity. Actually, what we got in this case was somewhat a surprise, was then homoclinics are in the one-half there is for analytic regularity. One-half below. This means the following, that as for asymptotic behavior is good because it reproduces exactly the harmonic oscillator minus epsilon x squared. Whereas we lose the properties to be an entire function, and what we can say is that we have holomorphic extension in S3. I will produce you a example, a counterexample showing that the result is sharp. We have computed one eigenvalue, ecco, with exactly such behavior. But before, let me observe that I have to say an important properties of the Gelfand-Shelov spaces, that Fourier transform invert mu and mu. This is expected in some sense that Fourier transform maps local regularity into good asymptotic behavior and vice versa. At this moment, we first observe for the original harmonic oscillator that it is symmetric with respect to Fourier transform. This is characteristic, actually, this is typical of all the Shubin operators. But in this way, there is a, for this operator, there is a complete symmetry. That is, if we Fourier transform, we get the same equation for u hat. Satisfies the same equation, because here I have psi square, and here is minus Laplacian up here. So the conclusion is that the eigenfunctions are invariant under Fourier transform, and it corresponds to the fact that they belong to 1/2, 1/2, because then we have, say, we expect u hat belong again 1/2, 1/2. In fact, we switch the two 1/2 and we get the same result. So the entire property becomes super exponential decay and vice versa. So one would be tempted to use such a symmetry also for the nonlinear equation. Whereas u belonging to S1/2, 1/2 implies, let me observe that if u belongs to S1/2, then u hat is expected to be in S1/2, 1. That is, exponential decay, not super exponential, and holomorphic and strict. Let's check for the harmonic oscillator. For simplicity, write plus lambda u plus u square, say. The fact is that because u square, the symmetry, the supersymmetry, is lost. Because if we transform everything, let me call V equal u hat, and let me return to the x variables. I have minus delta V plus x square, which should be psi, V plus lambda V. Okay, here the surprise, because the Fourier transform of u square is not anymore u square, is plus a constant if according to the normalization we use, V anyway, V convolution V equals zero. So this is a new nonlinear equation. V convolution V is a nonlinearity which appears in some models. There are some perturbations of quantum mechanics of the type V convolution V. By the way, then what we can say, if this was our theorem, what we can say about the solutions of this equation? They are in S1/2, 1, just by argue for a Fourier transformation. We reduce vice versa to this one, etc. So solutions of this equation are the vice versa, have exponential decay, but are exceptionally good as entire function. This 1/2 is very good, it's implied entire of type 2. To give evidence of this fact, I have one transparency, which is more or less the only transparency I have written in my life. But it is easier to copy on the blackboard, it's not so much. And I give you an example where it appears in a sharp way, this u belonging to, etc. Maybe let's go. So the equation, first of all, for simplicity, dimension 1. Then the harmonic oscillator is y, the second order derivative minus x square y. I collect a minus. Then consider the first eigenvalue, which is 1, plus y. But the nonlinearity is not only polynomial in U, but is, this is, I don't know, the creator or annihilator of energy of applied to y square. That is, we have y square, if you want, you explicitly differentiate, you have y times y prime, etc. Say, this is an admissible linearity, admissible non-linearity, admissible non-linearity in our theorem. So we can apply our theory. Thanks to a particular form, which, by the way, has some also physical, not say motivation, but it's reasonable from the point of view of quantum mechanics, we can produce an explicit solution, which is the following. Depends on a parameter lambda. We have quotient over, we have the Gaussian. Below, lambda plus square root 2 erf c, the complement of error function, x over square 2. Where this is the solution. We have tested this is solution of the nonlinear equation, where the complement of error function is the error function, but where we start with the integral, we go from t till plus infinity. Can be obviously related to the standard error function, but the expression in this way is easier. So the graph is that we descend from square root of p, if we consider p equal minus infinity, admissible non-linearity. What do you mean? This is the equation. Equal to all this. To explicit. It should be one term will be minus x y square. The other I have to derivate 2 y prime. Okay. But in this form, say, has a meaning in quantum apparent meaning in quantum mechanics, say. The graph is the following, that we descend from square root of pi to zero. Lambda is a parameter, which is related to the following, to the, say, to the initial condition in zero. In principle, lambda belongs to R plus. And here I have a computer graph, which I try to reproduce by hand, and I show you. Where can be related easily to the initial condition in zero. Let's draw, try to make a picture of the solutions in the upper half plane. According to lambda, we have a family of solutions. If lambda is negative, our solutions blow up in a finite time. Time is here's the space, actually. For lambda equals zero, we have a critical solution, which is asymptotic to the diagonal. If lambda is positive, solutions are like this. I think this is all. And we can comment, I will comment a moment the expression. in 5 minutes. So the values of error functions are between 0 and square root of pi multiplied by this. So if this is 0, we have this quotient. You can apply L'Hopital rule if you want. It is easy to see that lambda equals 0 gives y asymptotic to x. Note that such a solution would be impossible in the linear case, because in the linear case, this is in s prime, would imply immediately exponential decay. If lambda is negative, say reasonably negative, a little below 0, then we have a pole at this point. Say we are, these solutions are outside our interest. Our assumption is from the beginning that y belongs to L2R. So the blow up is outside our consideration. The solutions which meet our assumptions are those for lambda positive. What we have for lambda positive? For lambda positive, this function is positive. Assume lambda strictly larger than 0. Then this is bounded. Is 1 over is a bounded function. You can bound by 1 over lambda if you want. You multiply by a super exponential by the Gaussian. Result, we have a decay of the type here, exponential minus x square alpha. To complete the discussion, we have to go in the complex domain. That is, this y belong to s 1 alpha below here. What about the index for analytic extensions? This was rather interesting, because what we have, a positive lambda and the error function, which is positive on the real line. But if you go in the complex domain, the error function can take negative values in the complex domain. We go in the complex domain. And then what we have, where the error function of square root of 2, etc., x over square 2, takes the value minus lambda, this point, we have a pole, we have a 0 here, and then we have a pole. Then holomorphy is limited to a strip meeting this point. There is a theorem granting the existence of such x in a complex domain, is the great Picard theorem, that states that an entire function, as error function is, assumes all the possible values in the complex domain, including minus lambda, but for possibly one exceptional value. But for us, say, it is, say, at the level of counterexample, it is sufficient to say that, but for possibly one lambda, the function is in S1. We have not an entire function. So a question remained, whether such an exceptional value exists for the error function. In this case, we would have counterexample to the counterexample, in some sense, we would have an entire solution which decays exponentially. Does the error function have an exceptional value? We asked the experts of special functions, in particular colleagues in Torino, who contacted Gauski, who wrote the chapter on Stegun, on the most referred about wrote the chapter on error function. They didn't know whether the error function has or not the exponential, the exceptional value. For example, the exponential e to the x has no the exceptional, excuse me, has the exceptional value, which is zero. So could happen. Finally, an answer was given by my collaborator, Granchev, listening to discussing a dissertation as a member of a committee in Paris. He met famous Fields Medal, Fields Institute, Jokotz, and his collaborator, Perez Marco. And they told, no, the error function. The answer didn't come from specialists in special functions, but rather from specialists in complex variable, complex function of a complex variable theory. And they gave also, there is a paper. Now I think it was appearing, now it is appeared by Perez Marco, where as product of what are results, they were able to establish whether integrals involving the exponential times a polynomial have or not the exponential values. And I have a sketch of a proof which I cannot reproduce in sharp terms, by Riemann surfaces, etc. That is, the fact is that such a function fold the complex phase, complex plane, because there is a square. And then we have one exceptional value possible in the first complex plane and another in the other complex plane. Bad luck would be the two exceptional values are the same. This cannot happen because of topological motivations. But I would stop here to leave time to the picture, etc. Thank you for your kind attention.